Welcome to the Bible Marathon. The Bible Marathon is quote-unquote run in order to create awareness and raise support for Christians who live in one of the 52 countries where God's Word is banned and don't have their own personal Bible. So if you've been blessed by these videos, I encourage you to sponsor the Bible Marathon, which all the info is at thebiblemarathon.com. We're in Genesis 3, verse 20. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Now, when Adam and Eve had sinned, before God pronounced his judgment on first Eve and then Adam, he first of all pronounced his judgment on the serpent. And the judgment of God on the serpent is the gospel, that Jesus would come and destroy the works of the devil, which is in 1 John, I think verse 5, but I'm not sure. So God had stated the gospel first and foremost. Now, he had stated that to the serpent, as Adam and Eve were standing by and listening, but they would be fully involved as the recipient of Eve's offspring, which is Jesus. And here in verse 21, God, so to speak, gives a visible token of the coming salvation, just like all the sacrifices in the Old Testament were a visible token of the coming Lamb of God. And it says, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Now, the implication or the indication is that an animal had to die. And so here, by way of implication, and I would say by way of indication, they saw that an animal had to die, and that the skins, the garments of skins, were used in order to clothe them and cover their nakedness, cover the results of their sin, so to speak. And God did that. He made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin. He did not utterly reject them. Actually, before he judged them, he already declared the gospel. And he made for them garments of skin and clothed them. And I believe that that implies or indicates that God is not only the one who provides the necessary salvation, but also applies the necessary salvation. And we have a beautiful verse in Isaiah 61. It says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, referring to Jesus and his righteousness. We wear the robe of Christ's righteousness. But the great joy is found in that God applied the salvation. He's not only the provider, but also the applier. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. So the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. He didn't reject them. There was a sacrifice. They saw that an animal had to die in their place. The reality of death had become real. The results and consequences of the fall would be an ever-present reality ever since, for them and for us. But also, God's declaration of the gospel would be an ever-present reality ever since. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And maybe that's a reference to this verse where God made garments of skins, indicating the death of an animal. So in this fallen world, we live in the reality of the fall. We live in the reality of the law of sin and death, Romans 8 verse 2. And we live in a superseding reality, a greater reality. And that's the reality of the gospel, the reality of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So even though Jesus' death on the cross was a little or about 2,000 years ago, the reality of His death on the cross was already fully present since the fall. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil." And obviously God didn't mean that man had become like God, and it seems more an expression of almost sarcasm. But I don't want to attribute to God what may not be true, but in Psalms 2, it says that the Lord holds them in derision. And so there is an element of derision that man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now, there was a possibility that man would eat from the tree of life and then forever live in a state of corruption. And so it was God's grace and kindness and goodness in that sense that he sent them out from the Garden of Eden. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. And obviously, during the flood, much changed in the geology of that present earth. So God sent him out. There was a breach. And were it not for Jesus, an irrevocable, irreparable breach, God sent him out from the Garden of Eden. We lost the delightful presence of God. And we were to work the ground. Adam was to work the ground from which he was taken. And we live in the reality of the fall. But we have hope. That hope is fully grounded in Genesis 3, verse 15.